as I prayed, as I sought God, it became clear to me that God wants to heal, God wants to do some healing in the service today. How he's going to do that, I don't particularly know. I just know he's going to do it. So, as a preacher, sometimes you want to see how does what I'm saying have to do with healing. But one thing I've decided to do, and I wish you would join me, is to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. So some people, you're listening to me in some few minutes, you may not be hearing what I'm saying. You may be hearing entirely different things from what I'm saying. It's okay and it's good. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do and to heal in this place today, to do emotional healing, to do physical healing, to do healing of hearts, spirit, soul, and body. I'm trusting God to do that. That wasn't what I want to come and do here today, but as I prayed this morning, it was impressed in my heart that God will be doing that. So be sensitive to that, and don't wait until you are prayed for. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in your heart. I pray that the Lord will bless us as we continue in Jesus' name. This morning, I'm to share with us on this topic, the rejected became the rescuer of the family. The rejected became the rescuer of the family. And we're going to be studying from the book of Genesis chapter 50. And that story is the concluding story of the story of Israel. Israel, the person called Israel, which is Jacob. It's the concluding story of his own life. He died in chapter 50. But at his death, some things happened in Genesis chapter 50. It was a great time of mourning because they were not home. They were in a strange place. They were in Egypt. But they have grown influence. They were not small. Maybe their population would be like 4 or 5 million people at the time. So they weren't small. And not that time. They were still a small company. It was when they were leaving Egypt, finally, that they had grown to be millions. But at this time, they were a group of people that probably like 200 to 500, thereabout people. And they have gone to settle. And God was with them. Quickly, Genesis chapter 50 from verse 1 to like 7, 8. We saw there how the burial ceremony, the mourning took place. And the scripture made us know that it was a great mourning time. It was. And I remembered when I came into the country in 2022. It was September 10, 11, 12. And that was the time the late queen was being buried. And I was in front of the TV for some few hours. And there was nothing else that was showing on TV. But something that struck me in the whole event was the people queuing to pay their last respect to the body. How some people will say, we've been here for 72 hours. We've been here for 48 hours on their feet waiting to do their last respect. Jacob was such a phenomenal person at this time. And the whole of Egypt was like, what is it? When they went for the burial, the Canaanites too felt, what's happening? But that's not where I'm going today. Where I'm going today is about what happened between Joseph and his brothers. And I will read from verse 15. Genesis chapter 50 from verse 15, I'll read. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, they cooked up a story. There is no place in the scriptures where we saw that their father said this that they were talking about. But they said, your father said you should forgive your brothers. Please, verse 17, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. This is the anchor scripture today, and it's at this point that I want to apply this to our lives. There are several people here, majority of us here are aged and matured, and we've gone through life and gone through several phases of life. Some of us, there were little expectations of people of us, whereas some of us, we were almost crushed by the weight of the expectations that were presented before us. As a young boy growing, there were no expectations from me. The only expectation from me was just to pass. So maybe I escaped and I was passing. So there was no other expectation from me. But I remember my brother, he was almost crushed under the expectation, and my dad did not know that he was doing that. My dad was saying to him, you're my firstborn. Even though it was the top, we have two elders, sisters in front that were like 10 years older than us. But my father would look at him and say, you are my firstborn. You are the authority in this house. To maybe like a 10-year-old boy, 12, and say, you are my firstborn. You're the authority. And my brother detested. It was almost like, let him not come home. He walks like in Leeds and no, maybe somewhere Leicester and come to back to the house. So my brother, because of that, my brother wished he would just stay in Leicester and then just leave us alone. It was not physical. What he was doing was not physical, but the weight of that expectation. And he thought he was just preparing him for sometime, but that weight. So it's possible you are here, you've gone through life, whether without some expectation at all, they just felt, okay, if it's just this, it's okay, no expectation. Some people's challenge was that there was no expectation from them. Everybody expected them to fail. So nobody thought so much from them. So that also impacted on them negatively. Whereas some other people, it was the weight of extreme expectation that made them, that was almost crushing for them. Some other people were the celebrity child of children, the one that everybody wanted. And just like Joseph, he was the loved child. And the parents, the father particularly did not hide his love, even though he's got 13 of them. For some people, he would have shown his love, likeness more for his daughter. You know, a man has 12 sons and one girl. He would have made the girl the love of his life. But no, Jacob didn't do that. He just projected his love to this boy that was almost a problem for him, almost created a problem for him. And it changed almost the course of his life. It affected the way he grew. And it created an enmity between him and his brothers. And it 40 years down the line. That's the story we are reading now. It's now pay time. Their father is gone. That's the authority that was keeping everything in check. It is time now to now call the shot. The man to say, don't do it, it's no longer there. And the brothers were quaking. Because not only has Joseph become successful against all odds, he has as much power as to have them probably killed if he wanted, if that was what he wanted. He could put them in prison and nobody will ask. He could say, you know what, just let them have a little tip of the iceberg of what I went through. Just put them in the prison for like 1 year, just a year. And there was a way he responded. And that's what I want us to see today. The way he responded was to say to his brothers, you meant it for evil. Genesis chapter 50 verse 19. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? I am not God. But as for you, what you did against me, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. This experience, this my life, these 13, 14 years or 20 years of my life that was hellish, God used it to do something that rather than harboring the hurt and the hate and the pain, I've allowed it to go. I've released it. I want to say today that God has got great plans for us. God has got great agenda for each and every one that is seated here. The scripture says that there is election by which each and every one of us are selected to be saved. If you want the theological exposition of your election and why your neighbor wasn't chosen, I'm sure Pastor Richard can explain when he comes next in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.
But I'm saying you were chosen, you were selected, grace found you. And you might have gone through life in a rough way that has produced maybe who you are today. I am saying, can we learn from Joseph? Can we go to God in this service, open our hearts, and see that what we have gone through can be to the salvation of men rather than an opportunity for vengeance? And I've seen people in my little time, I've seen a guy who wants to be the mayor of a place. And some people said he will not be the mayor, and they stepped it down. And another person became the mayor for 8 years. After 8 years, this guy became the mayor. Do you know what he used his 8 years to do? To undo everything the person that was before him did. That was the only thing he did. If the guy built a small bus stop, what he came to do, rather than look for another place where there's a bus stop and put, he came, removed this bus stop, I probably put another bus stop with air conditioners inside. Have you heard those stories? Sorry before. What I'm telling you is true life story.
Yes.
Put a bus stop with air conditioner there. Because he wants to show that I can outdo the other guy. Whereas there are several places without bus stops. There are the money used to put that one could have put 10 other bus stops and do other things. But because for those 8 years, there was something in him that just want to undo, show that people that what you thought I will not have, I now have it. Some people live their lives trying to undo the things that have been done. God can heal us. If God everything we need can be found in God. Physical healing can be found in God. Emotional healing can be found in God. Our mental wellness, we can draw from God. Every aspect of our wholeness, we can draw this strength from God. We can. This guy, at each stage, today I'm not teaching about the entire or the different aspects of Joseph's life, but in every stage of his life, the only thing we heard was rather than being hot and being hungry, the scripture says, God was with him. When he was sold as a slave, God was with him. When he became a servant, God was with him. When he became a prisoner, God was with him. If somebody denies me promotion, it will hurt me, and I will remember. Not to talk of somebody selling you to slavery. We may not imagine. Maybe what is closest we say, what was that thing? Not anti-slavery. There's this thing about marketing. They say slavery something marketing, so that people are given their right fair of price for the products they produce. I've forgotten the name, the way it's coined. There is this anti-slavery something that most
fair trade,
something like fair trade, and it's something that the brands, the Tesco, the people like that put to show that not only fair trade, but we have a policy anti-slave something.
Anti-slavery
we support anti-slavery mechanism where people are not underpaid for what they do, a fair price. That is the least of the way in which we can think about slavery. When a person is a slave, they are 100% not human. 100%. No right to life, no right to existence, no right to anything that is theirs. And at this time of this man's life, those that were responsible for doing that to him, he forgave them. He allowed it to go. Because he is saying that God has sent me for the salvation of others. Now, it's different if I feel this man was responsible for my not doing this. Maybe I want to do a career and the man did not allow me. And by so doing, I didn't become successful. And we feel, yes, it's justified. But I'm telling you, there are people that are, you call successful. There are people that will say, your life can be envied. Your life is good. People around you are saying, I love what you have. And yet, the person that has the life is still so much looking back to the people that have hurt him in the past. Somebody said in our Alpha class that we do that not forgiving is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. Because sometimes those people, whether we forgive them, we don't forgive them, they will carry on to lead the life they are meant to live. But if we don't release them from our hearts, we crush ourselves and we become less than what God wants us to be. And we don't see that through us, many are being saved. Through what God is doing in your life, through what God is, and somebody is saying, I'm all alone. What do you mean by through me many is being saved? I want to tell you, even if you feel you are night and you're listening to me and you feel I don't have anywhere else to go, I'm just at home, I don't do anything, I want you to know one good seed can produce 1,000 trees in the forest. If you are sowing goodness, even if you have one day to live, and the seed you're sowing is goodness, the seed you're sowing is love, the seed you're sowing is mercy, you don't know the exponential rate that that has or that will be. There was a time in my country, we had a president, and this president was so vicious and was so, in quotes, let me say, was so mad that from where he is, 1,000 kilometers from where he is the president. People catch cold when he sneezes. Yeah. Normal people just disappears. Normal people. You're talking with your friends. And just, I don't like the way this government is running. I don't like the way this. You can wake up tomorrow and the guy is gone. The guy does not need to be anybody. He doesn't have to be anybody. Why am I telling you the story of this man? One day I wondered. But this guy grew through process. There was someone that was his teacher in secondary school, there was someone that were people that he grew with. There was this guy, and this guy went through all that process. And the best that they could produce was a tyrant. So even if the only bless you have is to produce one good, I'm sure the world is waiting for that good that you're going to give. In closing, I want to ask you 3 questions. In closing, some people have, they feel the journey of Joseph. I'm taking the liberty to assume that you know this, the story of Joseph as written in Genesis chapter 37. That was where he had his dream as a 17-year-old boy. And the people were like, his problem was that he spoke you should keep your dreams to yourself. Don't share your dreams with people. You will get enemies. So do you think the reason why Joseph's life went the way it went was because he was too loud about his dream Or do you think the problem was the dream itself, that he saw his brother, his father, his mother, his brothers, everybody bowing to him? Do you think the problem was the dream? Do you think the problem was his sharing it? Do you think it is how he shared it? Or do you think it's a case of what will be, will be? I leave you to think about these things. Whether it is how he said it, whether it is the dream itself, or whether it is the circumstances of the time. But God, being gracious, was able to show us 30 years down the line that what people thought for evil, he could produce goodness out of it. And in praying this afternoon, I want to say, even the things that were meant for evil in your lives, God can make it for good. He can turn it around. He can make it good. Whatsoever was meant for evil can be turned to good. Would you mind bowing your heads with me to pray today? If you are here and somebody hurt you, or there was an experience in your growing, in your growth process, that left a mark on you, I'm not doubting that it affected you, but I'm saying, can we take it to God? Can you just open your heart to God and receive his help and healing? Is somebody here saying, maybe my life would not have been what it is if not that my father was not responsible? If not that this happened to me? If not that that happened to me? What was meant for evil, for Joseph, God turned it to good. I want you to turn your heart to God. And if you're a young person here, and God has given you a dream, and that dream is bigger than what you think. It's big, it's so big, you're afraid to even say it. You're welcome. The generation of the Josephs. We need you. We need people whose dreams are bigger than themselves, whose lives will impact generations, whose lives are going to be, who will be the influencers of the next 10, 20 years. Don't throw away that dream. Hold it in your heart. God has a way of making it come to pass. If you pray with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, that hymn writer says there is a fountain that is filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners can plunge into it and they can become as white as snow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present each and every one here to you, everyone hurting, everyone in pain, everyone that is in physical injury. Lord, we draw on the cross that symbol of authority and health, that symbol that signifies the termination of the works of the devil and the host of darkness, that breathes the redemptive rights for us. Lord, I pray that your health, your healing, your power flows through each and every one that is here today and every child that is gone everyone that has gone to the children's section, Lord, we allow you to heal in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for every young person with dreams that are afraid. Lord, we ask that you will make good this promise that you have put in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.